Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. Business and community leaders talk with us to provide invaluable resources to aid the business community. Leadership is about cultivating growth, just like a gardener nurtures a garden. And no one understands this better than Jeff McManus. Jeff is the Director of Landscape Services at the University of Mississippi and a dynamic speaker who helps organizations develop leaders from the ground up. Drawing from decades of experience, Jeff teaches leadership principles through his book, Weeders to Leaders, which has transformed teams and leaders across the country. Jeff helps businesses and organizations cultivate thriving leaders, just as he has done for his own team at Ole Miss. Looking to grow strong leaders in your organization? Bring Jeff to your next event and let him help your team thrive. Book Jeff McManus today. Great leaders aren't born, they're grown. Here is our host, Kristen Engelke.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of South Haven Business Beat. We have with us today Mr. Wardell Seals with Heartbeat CPR. He's the president and CEO. If you would, tell me a little bit about how you got started.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it, Kristen. I've been in business now going on. This is my 31st year in Memphis as business. I'm also a paramedic. Paramedic firefighter, retired. And I got in business, I've been teaching since 1978, so a little young. But I've been teaching since 1978, whereas working as a paramedic, going out seeing different people that were sick, maybe having a heart attack, and their family did not recognize how they was having a heart attack or what they could do until we as paramedics got on the scene. So it made me think, you know, how can I start, not necessarily a business, but how can I begin to train individuals so they all know what to do until the paramedics got on the scene?
Okay. So you said you were a paramedic for?
Memphis Fire Department. I'm retired now. I've been retired going on 4 years as a paramedic firefighter.
Okay. How long did you do that?
I was doing medicine since 78.
Okay, so just for a few minutes.
Just a few minutes. Yeah, I came to Memphis in August of 91.
Okay, that's wonderful. So your primary goal is to just educate people.
My primary goal is to not only necessarily educate people, but let them know. I try to use a very simple technique. A lot of people think doing CPR is very difficult. You can't remember the numbers. You can't remember the technique. So this is why I took the word CPR out of my training. Because when someone hears somebody and they say, hey, go start CPR. The first thing they want to do is start doing chest compression. And so what I tell people, your body is your car. How do you know your car have gas in it? You got to check the gas here, right? So I tell people that if you just walk up and start doing chest compression on someone, and the heart is the engine of your car, if your car is already running and you start doing chest compression, you're going to make the engine stop running. Is that right? If your car is already running and you try to start the car, the engine is going to shut off. So what I tell people is C doesn't come before A, and B, the letter B doesn't come before the letter A. And I say you're trying to save a life. And in saving a life, you're only going to do what's not there. If I gave you A and I gave you C, what's missing, not CPR, the letter B, airway, breathing, circulation. So I try to make it very simple. It's just like the AED. So many people, I walk into the office, I say, do y'all have an AED here? No, what is that? But if I said, do you have that thing that shocks the heart? Oh, yeah, we got one of those. So I try to keep all my terminology simple, but people can understand. Still using the same guideline from the American Heart Association, but changing the wording where it's so simple that people will understand it and won't be afraid to learn how to save a life.
So if this were to happen at, say, even in my office, mm-hmm. for instance, what would be the first steps? What should I be looking for? What should I do first? You said that it's A, B, C. Right. So what is that order and what exactly should we be looking for?
Right. What I tell people first is to make sure everything is safe. You know, make sure, you know, why this person passed out. Make sure this, what they call scene safety. Make sure the scene is safe. And then you go in and you do an assessment. Are they responding? Because when you're trying to save a life, anytime something is not there, you got to do something about it. If your car won't start, you call the mechanic, right? So, hey, there's no movement on the person, you call it 911. And once you call the mechanic, you say, hey, let me open the car door up, tilt the head back. Hey, airway, let me see if some gas in the car. It might be needing some gas. You look and see if the chest rising and falling. You don't see that? There's no gas in the car. I got to put some gas in the car. Well, how do you know the gas went in? I saw the chest move. Well, how much gas do I put in? I tell people, your body is just like a car. You got a Volkswagen and you got an SUV. Who needs the less gas? The Volkswagen, right? So what would happen to this Volkswagen if I take all this gas out of the SUV and put it in the Volkswagen? It's going to overflow. So you only put enough gas in the car to make the tank fill up. I see my tank fill up. Let me see if the car running. Hey, the car running, it just don't have enough gas in it. I just continue to put the gas, the breathing, be in there. So we only going to do what's not there. Does it make sense?
Absolutely. That's a great analogy. I love that very much. Yeah. So what comes next after that?
Well, let's say they continue not to breathe, but the heart's still beating because we're going to show you how to check the pulse. Mm-hmm. We'll demonstrate that. You just continue to give the breath until the paramedics arrive. And I tell people, this is important. Anytime you have something happen in the office or on a job or whatever, write down what time it happened. They're very important. So when the paramedics get on the scene, you can say, they might get on the, let's say it happened at 10 o'clock. The paramedics arrive at 10:15. At least they know between from 10 to 10:15, you've been doing something, right? And that's very, very important when someone's having a stroke. Because we need to know what time did it actually happen. You saw them at 10 o'clock, but it might happen at 6 o'clock this morning. They just came to work, but it happened three or four hours ago. So that's important that we have to relay that information over to the doctor. And even in the classes, we explain that to people about stroke, heart attacks. How do you recognize that someone having a heart attack? Or how do you recognize someone having a diabetic problem? The blood sugar might be too high or the blood sugar might be too low. We explain all of that in our class. We just don't go in there and tell people, okay, we're going to do chest compression. We're going to do breathing. I want people to understand what caused this problem. Was it a heart attack? Was it a seizure? Was it a stroke? So we explain all of that in our classes.
So, Mr. Seals, you had mentioned earlier about the difference of what you would do for a Volkswagen versus an SUV, because they're two different vehicles, they're two different size vehicles. Well, referring to that in the human standpoint, what are the differences in how you would treat a child versus an adult that are showing these symptoms?
Yeah, of course, we're going to start with the same process as far as make sure the scene is safe and also seeing if the person is conscious. You know, if they're not conscious, we're going to still call 911. Open the airway the same as a child and an adult. Check for breathing the same way. You will give the breath the same because you're going to pinch your nose off and cover that person's mouth only and just give just enough air to make that chest rise and fall. And people think just because it's a child, you know, you give a little short breath. Each breath should last about 2 seconds each, okay? If the air goes in, we'll see the chest rise and fall. Same for the child, same for the adult. You're going to check the circulation, the pulse, or the heartbeat. The same way with the pulses in the neck. And we demonstrate how to do that. I tell people when you're checking for that pulse or evaluating that pulse, you want to check for at least 10 to 15 seconds. Because if you have an adult that work out, the pulse might be a little slow. Or if you have a female like on her cycle, the pulse might be very weak. You just don't want no pulse and start doing chest compression. The thing about chest compression, the American Heart Association has a way to find your hand placement. You know, the two fingers around the lower part of the rib cage. So I just tell people the easy way, take four fingers, no matter what size they are, an infant, child, nor a child, nor adult, four fingers up under the armpit and come across to the center of the chest. Same spot. And they'll say, well, how deep do I press the chest? Once again, if you hold your feet at the end of an accelerator, it'll slip off, right? But if I put it in the center, it'll press the car, make it go. And even though for a child, it should be an inch and a half to 2 inches deep, but hey, I've seen some big kids, right? So I said, hey, look at the chest and try to pump down as much as you can to make the blood come out of the heart.
Absolutely. Well, okay, so I, years ago, went through a CPR certification class that was something that was incentivized to us through DeSoto County Schools. You were just encouraged to be able to learn these things because you have students in your care. In your classes, what have you seen that's one of the biggest challenges that people have when they're going through your class?
Two challenges. The first challenge is they want to be familiar with the terminology. And this is why, this is what made me start doing the car thing. Because people say, chest, you know, or they say, how deep do you press? And so that's when I started doing the analogy. I always look at my crowd when I go into a room. Every class is not the same. And what I do is, you don't have to use the karate or the breaking. I say it's the pulse in the arm, the pulse in the neck. You know, people need to know, what do I need to do that's very simple to save a life? That's one of my challenges. The next challenge is I scared on breaking ribs. I don't want to break no rib. So I tell people, and I make sure in every class, you're not going to leave my class until, first of all, I feel confident, but the main thing, I want you to feel comfortable. And that's usually the big, my youngest client has been 5 years old, and my oldest has been 82. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I look at the crowd and the clients or the students in the class and determine, how do I get this message across?
Well, I can imagine that being able to utilize even the automotive analogy is beneficial children as well. So
and so many people like, you know, I don't want to fail a test. I can give you a test and you make 100, but can you drive the car?
Absolutely.
So a lot of my questions are verbal, and I can turn the question around. No matter how I ask the question, the answer is the same. But driving that car has been one of my biggest influence on telling people how to save a life.
Well, I definitely want to go into a little bit more of hearing about the hands-on things that you do in your classes, but we're going to take a quick break for just a moment because right now we need to take a moment and thank our sponsors of the South Haven Business Beat. So we'll be right back.
Make your next event unforgettable with the Follow app. Connect instantly, stay organized, and never miss an opportunity. Ditch the business cards. Go digital with the Follow app. Network effectively, exchange contacts seamlessly, and grow your business. The Follow app, transforming the way professionals connect at events. Now back to South Haven Business Beat and host Kristen Engelke.
Hey, welcome back to South Haven Business Beat. We are here with Mr. Waddell Seals with Heartbeat CPR, and he is telling us about the importance of being able to recognize when someone is having an emergency situation where they may need assistance with helping with their airway or helping with resuscitation in any way. And I wanted to talk next about what it looks like if someone were to call your business and ask for you to come out and do training for their business or for their family.
Right. Well, I have a secretary, Ms. Edwina Gray, my executive assistant, and they will contact her. And normally we ask if they have like five people, we can come out to their company. And normally we go out a day or two prior to that to speak with who's in charge and who set the class up. And so we'll see what facility that we're going to be there. We're going to be in, because we not only do we talk about the class, but we show videos and we do PowerPoint, okay? And we also have mannequins. They actually have a mannequin that they're going to be practicing on. If they have less than five people, we can bring them into our office. We have a conference room and a training room at the office at 1255 Linfield. And what we do, we got the mannequins. We have the epinephrine, the EpiPens, that we demonstrate that on. We have Narcan. We show them how to administer Narcan for drug overdoses. We talk about the fentanyl. Some people say fentanyl, some people say fentanyl. So we talk about the drugs. on the importance of having gloves on when you administer the Narcan. And we tell them how they can either purchase a Narcan or get it for free, okay? After the lecture part, the didactic part, they do practice on the mannequin. We also show them how to perform the Heimlich. If they're choking, we'll be an infant, child, and adult. And we also describe if you're choking at home by yourself, how do you unchoke yourself, okay?
So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I know we did not cover that when I took mine, so I may need to call upon your services.
Absolutely. So we demonstrate that. And then they have to do at least 5 sets of the compression. And now with the breathing, the American Heart Association, what the breathing part is, we do have the devices where they want to get a breath, but your COVID is still here. RSV is still here. So we tell the people, it's up to you if you want to get a breath or not. We're not saying that, hey, you got to give this breath, you know. But we do demonstrate how to give the breath. We do demonstrate that to the clients. Okay. And we also do, you know, fire safety. Well, we actually go in and show them how to, you know, if their home or their building is on fire, how to actually put the fire out. You know, with a fire extinguisher, of course, you know, how to call 911, how to get out of the building. You know, especially when we're doing school, you know, they used to always teach you, everybody stand up, get on the line. I said, so what if this school is actually on fire? You know, the smoke, all your deadly stuff is up here. Your good stuff is down here. So we actually show them how to crawl out, because we blindfold them and say, hey, this building is on fire. How you get out of here? I'll be yelling and screaming, noise and everybody. You know, you think you know your house. And I've done fire safety training people homes. And the first thing they want to do is jump up and go to the back door. I said, hey, you dead, dude. Because all this smoke is, the gas is up here, really. So, what do you do if you got upstairs and downstairs on fire? You know, I try to tell people you need to go to Home Depot or Lowe's and get that ladder that throws out the window. Because once you open that window, fire is just like a dragon. It's thirsty. So as long as these doors are closed, all your oxygen is inside here. Once you open that door, that dragon fire is going to come in. So you better be ready. When you open that window, decide you're going to go out, you better go out. And don't come back in. Because fire, the longer it's burning, the harder it gets. And that's why I tell people, most people try to light candles. Like, this is the candle. They always want to do it down here. I said, no, do it up here. That's why the heat is up here. You know, that's why people that own apartments, that stay in the apartment, during the wintertime, they probably never run their heater because they're using the people heat downstairs that's coming up. Now, summer is reversed, you know, because, you know, heat is up here, the air is down here.
Well, as a paramedic, I'm sure that definitely has been a huge contributing factor mm-hmm. to wanting to do the fire safety. And so many times, I know that when I was a child, my father was actually a volunteer fireman for Walls down here in Mississippi. And he was adamant. We did fire drills, and it was serious. And he was like, we're going to do this once a month or as many times as it takes for this to be second nature, because there's a huge difference between having a plan and executing a plan when there is smoke, when there is fire, when fear has overtaken every aspect of your thoughts. Because if it's not ingrained in you and second nature, it's all going to go out the window and you're not going to remember.
We have so many people, when we go in to search, they right there at that window. They didn't know how to get out. They right there at that window. So it's, you know, you got to have a plan. Like you say, it's good to have a plan, but do you know how to implement it?
Absolutely. Well, with the CPR training and things that you have offered, that is also something that you definitely want to be able to utilize and practice more. So I know every so often the American Heart Association requires you to get recertified. How often do you recommend for people to do that recertification?
The guideline for the American Heart Association is every 2 years. And the good thing about my business is, Ms. Gray, once you is assigned to a class, or we have a business that's assigned. If it's a business, we create a file for that business. and also people that come into the office that sign up individually, we put them into our system. So every 2 years, 30 days out, we send out a reminder. It's time to get recertified. Now, believe it or not, I have some of my business that they do at middle of the year. We just go in and do like a lecture. Mm-hmm. But like you say, if you don't use this every day, you're not going to think about it. And it's been very, very effective, even though it's every 2 years, but that middle of the year, we'll go in and do just a lecture to just to re-educate them.
That's great. That's great. I love the fact that you send out the reminders because we are all crazy busy people, especially in the business industries. Mm-hmm. And having that reminder, that service that you provide beyond the education, but able to come in and say, hey, we were so glad that you had us before. And a lot of times there's turnover in these businesses and everything. So even when you're coming back out to recertify some, it's still going to be the first time that some of these people are seeing that.
Absolutely.
And,
and even with the reminders, we tell the company, when we teach in the class, I would tell them, hey, if you're not working here in 2 years, you're still going to have to call. Because we go by that roster and we will still call them even if they're not working at that business. So it's still get a reminder.
Well, is there anything that I haven't covered or asked you that you want to share?
Yeah, I want to first thank you all for having me out. I really appreciate that, as far as that, not only the exposure, but just letting people know the importance of trying to save a life. Because I tell people, the life you save might be that of your very own. If you love someone, it will be important to learn how to save a life. It is, I mean, just that little thing, because especially on you have kids, or you have the babies, infants, remember, as long as they are choking, there's no oxygen going to the brain. And you got to act very, very quickly. Just like heart attacks. You know, people say, oh, I just might be gas. Well, you need to recognize, especially if you have a family history of heart disease, stroke, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure. We talk about those things. The main thing I would definitely tell people is, you know, you have a family reunion or a class reunion, begin to incorporate this type of training into your family reunions or to your class reunions. And especially businesses, you know, just like here, you have clients that come in here that might fall down and have a heart attack, you know.
Oh, I hope not.
And I'm not putting it on anybody, but hey, at least you'll be trained, though. At least you'll be trained.
Yes, sir.
When you're in cardiac arrest, because see, you have heart attack, cardiac arrest, and certain cardiac death. A heart attack is like when all those little lines in that engine begin to clog up. That's why you get the pain. That's why you get the clacking in the engine. Blah, 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 blah. And if you don't hurry up and do something, you go into cardiac arrest. The engine has blown up, right? So this is where the use of the AED come in, the defibrillator. And people say, I don't know how to use that. We teach people, we actually have that in class. An actual defibrillator, and we let them see how to use that defibrillator.
Yeah, I was a little bit intimidated when I went through that portion of the class, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
But truly, getting it explained and so that you really understand the mechanics of what it does and why, it really makes a difference. And it's a whole lot less intimidating than you would think once you understand and break it down for somebody. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. The next thing, one of the most important things for all of our guests and viewers here, how would they contact you and Miss Edwina so that they can call you in for their business or family?
Absolutely. They can call the office, 901-324-8556. Okay. They can come out to 1255 1255 Linfield Rose, Suite 106, Building A, Suite 106, or they can email Miss Gray. Edwina G@heartbeat.cpr.com.
Edwina, that's EDWINA?
Yes.
G. Okay.
@heartbeat.cpr.com.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us.
I really appreciate being here.
And for everybody out there, I highly recommend you give them a call, let them come out and educate you on how to save a life, because it's a serious situation, but it doesn't have to be a scary situation. You can help, and it is something that you can do with confidence. So thank you so much for joining us for another episode of South Haven Business Beat. If you haven't done so already, you need to make sure you like and subscribe and share this video. We don't want you to miss the next episode and the next educational segment for you, your business, and your family. Thanks. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. We would like to thank the following sponsor. Pure Focus Media exists to make high-quality media accessible to all businesses, regardless of their size or budget. We believe that every business deserves to have its story told with clarity and creativity, and we are here to bring that vision to life. Would you like to be a sponsor of South Haven Business Beat? Please email us, info@southhavenchamber.com. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources. Thanks for watching.